Hey there, folks. Paul here, signing back in as we continue our study series in the Gospel of Luke. Thank you for joining with me today. We're in Luke chapter 5, just a short section. I'm going to read verses 1 through to 11. Now, in my Bible, I have a little title. It says, Jesus calls the fishermen as disciples. And for us as Christians, this becomes very familiar to us over time. It's a story that many of us know. But I want to spend a few more moments so our familiarity can be put aside and we can look carefully at the text. There's some good lessons in here for us to take on board. So let's have a look. Get your pen, paper handy perhaps. Open up to Luke chapter 5 and I'll read from verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him, this is Jesus, to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, also known as the Sea of Galilee, and he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and they were off washing their nets. Verse 3, he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to just put out a little bit from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitudes from the boat. So some quick context, he's in Capernaum, previous video. And Capernaum is right on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. He goes down to the shoreline, he sees these two boats. One of them is Simon and Andrew, and also the other are James and John. And they're all off washing their nets. So we can imagine, as we get this from the text also, that they've been out all night, not had much luck, no catch tonight. And seeing them, Jesus gets into one of the boats, Simon's, and just says, hey, would you mind pushing me out a little bit? And then just starts teaching the people. And as we see here also from Scripture, there are more and there are more people starting to follow him. And they're pressing in, it says. It's getting crowded. And if you know anything about the Sea of Galilee in different places, different parts, the shores are actually quite steep. Would be quite comfortable for sitting on, just sitting down on your backside, feet in front. And Jesus says, push me out just a little bit. And it's almost like amphitheater style. And he can speak, as you know, our voices carry easily across the water and then in this sort of situation, in this setting, easily heard. It's the perfect place to just sit and listen to the word of God, as it says. And remember also, this is interesting. This is not the first time that he has met Peter. If you were to read, I think, two of the other Gospels, you would think he was just walking along. He saw these boats and he stumbled across these four fishermen and said, hey, guys, come and follow me. But no, it's not like that. See, after Jesus was baptized and the Spirit then leads him off into the wilderness, he comes back to the Jordan area and John the Baptist sees him. You might know this. He says, behold, the Lamb of God. And then just following that, Andrew, who was there, one of John the Baptist's disciples, goes and gets his brother Peter, brings him to meet Jesus. Hey, look, it's the Messiah. Come and see. And we see from this, that's the first time that Peter is introduced to Jesus. And then we see in the previous video, Jesus is actually at Peter's house. He heals his mother-in-law. So not the first time that he's met him, not at all. Jesus has been working in Peter's life for a little while now. And Peter's been watching and been listening. So he hops into his boat and says, look, just push me out a little bit. I'm going to teach the people. So Peter's seen some of this and go, okay, let's see what happens. And then we come to verse 4. When he had stopped speaking, he says to Simon, launch out into the deep. Let your nets down for a catch. But Simon answers, said to him, Master, Lord, we've toiled all night. We caught nothing. But, okay, nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. So he knows already, Master, Lord, Teacher, yes, I will do as you say. But he does what he does. He's a fisherman, and despite there's no previous catch, he wants to argue because he knows how to fish. But he says, we tried. Okay. Yeah, we did our best, but okay. And so, verse 6, when they had done this, they've gone out into the deep, they've thrown in their nets. They caught what? What does it say? A great number of fish. And their net was breaking. So many fish. They signaled to their partners, verse 7, in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and they both filled their boats. And they began to sink. So many fish. I love it. And when Simon Peter saw this, verse 8, they get back to the shore and he falls down to his knees and he says, "Depart from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." He recognizes God in Jesus. I love this. Guys, I love this because this here, Peter, this here, I pray that this here is us also when Jesus responds and fully reveals himself to us, that this is our response. Absolute humility. And I say that, but look at Jesus' response, even more beautiful. What's Jesus' response to, "Oh, depart from me. Don't come near me, Lord. I'm sinful. I'm unclean." He says, "Come, follow me. Come as you are. It's okay. I will make something of you. I will make of you fishers of men." And so I say to you too, as I would to others, Jesus saying, it's okay. Come, come as you are, sinful man, yes, but I will do, Jesus says, a work in you, and I will see to it that you don't stay as you are. No longer sinful man, but the righteousness of Christ. Yes, and that's what happens. That's what happens when we have faith in the cross of Calvary. His righteousness upon us, our sins, our uncleanliness, the penalty of such placed upon him at that cross. And Peter, he recognizes this. And as you would expect, they were astonished, it says, verse 9, at the catch of fish which they had taken. And there were also with them James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And then Jesus turns to Simon and says, "Don't be afraid," which is our natural reaction to when we recognize who we are in the presence of God. "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." And so, verse 11, when they had brought their boats to land, there it is, they forsook all and they followed him. You know, before we close out this video, though, one more point. I want to just bring this forward. This is good to learn. Peter responds to Jesus' request, you know, go out into the net, put your nets down, pretty much, I think, the same way most of us would with our own efforts. But I've done this, but I've done that, and I'm working on this, and I'm working on that. And too often, I think, we find ourselves still doing the same today, even as Christians. Got our plans, we've got our procedures, we've got our programs, and some of them are good, no doubt, but they're not the work of God. You know, they're, what do we see it as help? They're there, that they help. You know, if we just do this, if we just do that, you know, if we can just get more people in the door to church, for example. Now, don't get me wrong. If you've got a special event at church, yes, you've got to invite people to come in, fishers of men, right? Yes, but outside of that, I think we need to be careful not to think that our best efforts are going to convince someone, that our words are going to convert someone, to bring someone to Jesus. No, that's actually his job. Scripture tells us, it's in Matthew 6, no one can come to me. Jesus speaking, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And we need to understand and remember that your best plans, your best efforts, they are to naught unless God is in the mix, unless the Father draws them, just as he did Peter, not the first time that he met him. And then we see this second thing, this beautiful miracle, the power of God on display for all to see. They brought the boats to the shore and the people there would have seen. Our response should be, like Peter's, humble recognition, number one, of who we are, but two, of who he is. Hallelujah. And in our natural, we see this success. So many fish. and we want to package it up, and we want to put it into a program as if we can replicate it in some way, and then we want to sell it, and we want to teach it to others in seminars and workshops. And don't think that this doesn't happen within the church. I know that it does. It's what I did for a living in the world before following Jesus, and I see the same pattern of recognition, packaging up the programs, because if you'll just do this. Our job, folks, is to speak the word. This, that is our job. And then we let the Spirit do the work. If I could just get you to understand one thing, just one thing. It's what I do here. I pray teaching the word, the living word of God, the Logos, revealing Christ. And then I let the Spirit do the work. And just as Jesus said to Peter, come, I will make of you, he said, fishers of men. Come to me as you are. Yes, says Jesus. But understand, he says, I'm not going to leave you as you are. I will make of you a new creation. As Scripture says, for good works prepared from beforehand that you should walk in them. This is the point and purpose. According to his purpose, according to his grace. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. Amen. So wherever you at right now, it's okay. Bring it to Jesus. Come to him, yes, as you are. And understand, though, he will not leave you as you are. He will make of you that new creation, created for good works, for his pleasure and his purpose. And we learn of that, and we lean into that by the reading of his word. As the multitudes pressed about him to hear the word of God. This is why I share these things with you, that you might hear that word also. God bless. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.